Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Clemencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
The big idea for this episode is the traps of betrayal. Hey, it's a whole lot better to know what's out there before you fall into one of those traps. Hey man, this is the part of the episode where we're supposed to advertise my book.
All right.
So what do you think we should say?
I don't feel bad about it. It's not a shameless plug. It's literally your book. You've put a lot of work into it.
That's a good point. So you need to pick up a copy. And hey, here's the thing. If you buy a copy and you didn't like it,
right.
Drew said he'll pay for you to ship it back.
It's not what I said. At least an In-N-Out Burger, I'll ship to them.
You'll ship them.
If it's on the East Coast, it'll be all spoiled, but it's fine. Hey, I'm in this book too.
You are. You're actually in this book. And I say some things that people don't know about you. It's going to be great. I tell some stories.
All right.
Are you?
Where can people find this book at?
Oh, that's right.
And what it's called.
Okay. So you can pick up this book.
Right.
It's called The Quest for Friendship.
The Quest for Friendship. Insert Galleon's music here.
That really is what it is.
Right. It's happening right now. It's me speaking.
The Idea Network publishing arm of our network has produced this awesome resource, and I really do appreciate it. It's exciting. It really is a discussion of friendship, and I want you to pick up a copy at ideanetwork.church in the shop tab. It's the very first resource at the very top. You can pick it up, and if you put in the promo code free shipping is yours.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Go do it now.
The Quest for Friendship. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. On today's episode, we are going to be covering the traps of betrayal from your most recently published book, The Quest of Friendship.
Yeah, the traps of betrayal is it's a big topic. And it's interesting that we're studying this just a few days before Easter. And as we're looking at this concept, we understand the greatest betrayal of all time took place between Judas and Jesus Christ. I mean, this week we're going to be celebrating Passion Week. This week we're going to be remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that part of the journey of friendship, part of the quest of friendship, part of the quest of being a disciple of Jesus is understanding what Jesus said. And that is, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they're going to attack me, they're going to attack you. The same thing that I've gone through, you'll go through. And betrayal is absolutely an aspect of friendship. It is going to be a part of your life. And if you've experienced true friendship, at some point, you're going to experience true betrayal.
We announced a few episodes ago that you were publishing your first book and talked about kind of a brief overview of that. This is a little bit of a deeper dive into chapter 6 specifically and talking about maybe one of the things none of us really want to admit about friends is that you have to, in order to have closeness in any relationship, it requires a level of vulnerability. And often, especially with men, like you have said many times on this podcast, men sometimes don't want to risk crossing that bridge because they've got hurt in the past. There's lots of things there, and we're going to discover some of them today.
Absolutely, we are. It's going to be a great conversation. I'm looking forward to getting into it. But before we do, I mean, I'm kind of excited because I know it's just the end of March,
yes,
but already things are ramping up with Kylie and Ermler and the entire Idea Network team for Idea Night coming up in September.
Yeah.
So if you haven't registered yet for Idea Night, you don't want to register your tickets. Like you might start finding out where to go very soon. But if you want to host, that's fantastic. I don't remember exactly the numbers, but our very first Idea Night, there was something like 30 locations, and then there was like 40 locations. And it's
last year was huge.
Yeah, it was incredible. We have more people. Here's the thing about Idea Night. You actually have more ministry leaders attending Idea Night than any event that we do because it's all over the country.
Yeah.
So you could have 50 locations and 12 people at each location, and you've got 600 ministry leaders involved. And it's so exciting because it very much, Ermler and I talk about it all the time, it very much is reminiscent of the way Idea Day used to be. It's just a few guys sharing very specific topical ideas, just a few couples sharing their passion for ministry. It's so good, and it's so local. So if you have not yet registered to host an Idea Night, if you've already done it in the past, you need to let us know ASAP so we get you registered in. Register on the website. You can register right there at ideanetwork.church. Or if you've never done it before and be interested, we'd love to encourage you to register, or I should say apply for the
process. Apply for, to be a host.
Yeah. And the reason is there might be somebody 10 minutes away, 30 minutes away who's already applied. And we don't want to cannibalize our specific area.
Sure.
But if there's more than 12 leaders going to one, maybe there needs to be another one in a city. Regardless, all you have to do is apply and our team will get back to you within just a week or so and let you know if you've been selected to host an Idea Night September. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. We have one other huge announcement.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one.
I'm very excited about this one.
Longtime listeners of the podcast will be shocked
right.
by this announcement.
So those of you who have been following this podcast from the beginning, A, first off, thank you for your support and listening and sharing ratings on iTunes that we've asked you to, as well as just sharing your thoughts and how you've been blessed, you know, by our podcast over the years.
A lot of questions that come in for our AMAs, which when you look at the data analysis are by far the most popular episodes, right. It seems. People love that.
So you've been following it. The cadence of this podcast has normally been a monthly podcast up until probably about a year and a half ago, where we sat in a room with Kylie and Josh and yourself and myself, and we're like, when can we transition this to potentially maybe a biweekly podcast?
Right.
Which is literally double the work.
Right.
And we said, hey, let's just go for it.
Right.
And
12 episodes with your hosts are just simply not enough. You needed more of Josh and Drew.
So you got, you know, close to about 24 to 30-ish podcasts a year.
Yep.
So now we're doubling that.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a weekly cadence.
Wait, what?
A weekly cadence.
Are you telling me this now?
It's crazy, right?
Why are you telling me this now?
So not just telling you now, it's launching on a very special day for you and me.
The very first every other week episode,
yeah.
where you're going to have one every week, it's going to launch on
May the 4th.
Now, why is that a special day, Drew? Why is that an important day?
Because we're both crazy Star Wars nerds.
We are. Now, look, some of you are listening to this and you're like, skip past this quickly. No, maybe we'll make the whole episode about May the 4th. May the 4th is the official Star Wars celebration. And for those of you who don't know that, you need to know because you've got nerd friends. You're listening to nerds talk about ministry.
Right.
May the 4th. Why May the 4th? It's so stupid.
But it's great.
Yeah.
It's like it's meant to be.
Why?
Because May the 4th is Star Wars Day. And
yeah, but why is it the Star Wars Day for those who are not?
Because May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th.
It's like you have a lisp when you're saying May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you. It is perfect, right? For a bunch of nerds who love Star Wars. So it is Star Wars Day. It's going to be exciting. And what exactly is going to the new format of the podcast? I mean, we're not going to quit this, right? Because everybody loves the banter between Drew and Josh and the interviews that we have and
the content we
put out.
So every other week will still remain very much the same cadence where you're going to get Josh and I either interviewing somebody or talking about a themed topic. But the off weeks, or so the other odd weeks, will be session audio from prior Idea Summits or Idea Days.
Yeah, this is something people have been asking for years. Is it possible to get all of this content? Is it possible to hear the sessions that I missed? I mean, I'm sitting in here and there's like 10 other sessions going on. Can I get that content?
Yeah, and previously, like, it wasn't available anywhere unless you came to an event.
Right.
And like you're saying, if you came to an event, you would have to pick that specific session to come into. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to actually do it.
So. Correct. So we've been instructed by our overlords, Kylie and Ermler, that what we need to do is we need to take those sessions from the other events and put them into the cadence. So now you are going to be the recipient of all of this this extra time. And every other week, it'll be Drew and I, as typical. And then every other week, well, that's going to be your opportunity of hearing a previous session at an Idea Day, Idea Night, or an Idea Summit, which is really, really cool because we have some great backlog of some amazing sessions.
Amazing speakers, some guys and gals, speakers that are, you know, maybe not heard very much about, but we know you're going to get a lot of benefit from.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. That's going to start on, I forget the date. What was it?
May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Be with you, always. Right.
So you ready to get into the content for this episode?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
So the traps of betrayal. I love this chapter a lot because it talks so much about your friendship and burning bridges. The first really kind of tentpole of this conversation is naivety when it comes to friendships. So when you really kind of dig into that a little bit and you think about potentially when somebody leaves you, they might question, I thought this person was my friend and I thought they were really close to me. Why did they betray me like this?
Yeah, the naivety is a big deal. It really goes back to understanding categories of friendships or what we talk about in chapter 3, and that is circles of friendship. one of the big mistakes that we make, that's actually chapter four, circles of friendship. One of the biggest mistakes we make in friendship, or I should say relationship as a whole, is the word friend is so very broad on what we mean by that, right? I can call you a friend. We have spent countless hours together, right? We have traveled the world together. We will travel the world. You've been to Africa and I haven't yet been, but we're going to go together, I'm sure, at some point. And then I can also call, I can introduce you to my friend who works at Starbucks, the barista. We're like, oh, Drew, meet my friend over here. And so the term is so extremely broad. One of the things the book attempts to do is really dissect and say, okay, where does somebody fall in these circles of friendship?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why we really have a big problem is because sometimes we place ourselves closer in an inner circle of somebody else where they did not place us. So they're like, oh, I'm like one of their really close friends.
Sure.
And they're like, yeah, I don't remember your name. And that can be problematic.
Sure.
And so because we're naive,
makes for some awkward encounters. Yeah,
it really does. Because we're naive, we don't realize that this happens quite a bit in business. It also happens quite a bit in ministry. There's an assumption that the person that we've done business with is my friend. We go to your camp,
right?
We go to your college. We go to your whatever it might be, and so therefore. We are friends. And the answer is really, we're more of maybe business associates.
Yeah, here's an excerpt from the chapter that I love. It says, here's the question you must ask yourself when determining if this is a friendship that needs to be categorized into my tribe circle. So you talk about that, a group circle or close friend circle. If I were no longer using their product, attending their ministry, or supporting their work, would they still spend time with me? And the fact is, the answer will keep you from expecting close friendship when someone is only offering a mutual partnership. So explain that a little bit more.
Nothing wrong with a mutual partnership. Nothing wrong with that. And friendly people make a big mistake because sometimes we are so friendly, it appears that we're offering something that we're not actually offering. And that is deep, intimate friendship.
Yeah.
When in fact, what we're doing is we're offering ministry partnership.
Sure.
Ministry partnership is not a bad thing, but it doesn't mean that everybody you're in ministry partnership with is a deep friend. So being able to say, okay, if I was not a part of this person's ministry, would we be still spending time together? The answer is, okay, maybe I've categorized them closer than I should. I've made this mistake. I am so bad at making this mistake, even within our local church setting. I remember, I talk about this in the book, there's a man that came to our church for years, a really great guy, like a really brilliant, wonderful conversationalist, truly a great guy to go to coffee with and just blow 45 minutes an hour with. When I would see him on my schedule, I got excited. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to go to coffee. We're going to talk. It's going to be great. He came to our church for years, but then eventually moved on from our church. Not because he moved away, but because our position on, specifically the King James Version, our position on the King James Version shifted, whereas in the past, I only preached from the King James Version, came to the realization that wasn't necessarily a biblical position that I saw as necessity, so I stopped. For him, that was a huge theological issue, so big of an issue that he would leave the church, and so he did. Unfortunately, what took place next totally falls on my shoulders, not his. And that is, he became extremely upset after leaving because he said, hey, man, I thought we were friends. You never call me anymore. We never go to coffee anymore. And he unfortunately was under the assumption that our relationship was really, truly friendship at
sure.
that level
yeah.
and not in reality, a pastor with a congregant.
Yeah.
Well, I've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of congregants I need to go to coffee with and develop a relationship with. You're no longer there in that same relationship. And so what I had done is I had unfortunately and sadly set him up for that failure. Now,
right.
How does a pastor keep himself from doing that? Oh boy, I wish I had all the answers on that. I really don't have
sure.
all the answers on that. But I will tell you, oftentimes it really is naivety that
yeah.
keeps us, that gets us to a place where we say, man, I really thought that person was my friend.
Sure.
And we've got to keep ourselves from that trap on both sides, on both sides.
Yeah, the offender or the offendee.
Right.
In that case. So that's a great story to talk about just some of the pitfalls that can come with that and setting up proper boundaries. And I think we've all had like those times in friendships where like, what is this? Like, is this like a, you know, when you're dating, you know, it's like,
yeah, where are we
so are we like, liking each other? Right. Or are we like dating now? Or are we like, Like, is this, you know, going to go somewhere? And friendship, it's the same way, where he sometimes has this awkward conversation, be like, man, we seem to have coffee like every week. Like, is this like going to continue? Is this a thing? What do you want out of this? You know? And I think sometimes it's just, again, going back to the vulnerability piece, it's okay to be like, what is this?
Men have a hard time with that. I remember we had a conversation that would be very similar.
Yeah.
It was, if you remember the way I do, you invited us over to that house,
right?
And you basically came as, I was your pastor.
Sure.
But you're like, hey, I'm really, I have a creativity desire to do more creativity. Yeah. Creativity. I think that's correct, at the church. And but I'm really not sure what to do with it. I'm poured into this, and you're talking about career shifts and all that kind of stuff. And then I said, hey, maybe what we ought to do is do this podcast. And Pastor Steve had recently left. The podcast wasn't going for like 6 months. We began to discuss that. And that was something that really deepened our ministry relationship. And it was from, and I talk about this in the book, it was from that ministry partnership,
right,
that actually bled into a deeper actual friendship at a different level, which is talked about in chapter 12, how to minister to friends,
and
how to minister with friends. But yeah, man, that concept, I think, is a conversation,
sure,
that needs to happen. And people are sometimes afraid to have that conversation. But the closer you get in those circles of best friends and close friends, those conversations do need to happen. And I think 13-year-old girls are far more adept at relationships than we are, because it's okay to say, are we best friends now?
Sure.
Are we close friends now? So I think that's all part of it.
Yeah, that's good. So moving on from naivety, the next kind of point you make here is a sense of duplicity when it comes to friendships. And the quote, what we had was real, they traded it away for something else.
Yeah, what we had was real, and they traded it away for something else. Duplicity is what we see with Judas. Judas takes 30 pieces of silver and says, what we had for 3 years means nothing.
Sure.
This is not being naive. This is throwing away an actual relationship, because this opportunity means more to me than the relationship that we had. And so, boom, done. Boom, you're gone. You're out of here. This is duplicity. This is true betrayal. And we see it all the time, don't we?
This happens so much, especially, I don't know if Vegas is just the hot spot for this, or if there's other areas of the world that are like this. But my wife and I, you know, sometimes go out in public with our kids, right? Either to an outdoor mall or something like that around town, or a park, right? And you notice a family and one of the parents is super nice, and they strike up a conversation like, hey, like, how you doing? Like, what's your name? You know, how old's your kid? Oh, that one's really cute over there, doing really good playing on the monkey bars or whatever. And then at some point in the conversation, then the niceness turns into a business opportunity, and you're like, okay, we're done. Like, we're good. That's the line. Like, we truly didn't want anything out of this relationship, and you were thought me as a prospect.
Yeah.
And that's where it's just,
I wonder for our audience if that's the case where you're at, but the amount of let's strike up business.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. I think we said it on a podcast episode before, but your insurance agent,
right,
your car dealer, these people are friendly.
Right.
You get in real trouble when it comes to friendships when you can't tell the difference between friendly and friend.
Yeah. The timeshare salesman was really friendly.
Yeah, he's really friendly. You're, I think they want to go out for a coffee after.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
They don't.
You're not going to call them when you have to go to the ER. Like, it's not a thing.
It's, they might have a truck, but they're not helping you move.
One of the quotes from this section that I love is, people hurt people when they place a higher value on a new opportunity than they do an old relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, we all struggle with selfishness and therefore have the potential of becoming the villain of someone's story. You know, I was recently reading the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. You heard of it? Mm. Great book. I'd highly recommend it. He's got a really interesting story, but he's a quote from Machiavelli in there. It says, men desire novelty to such an extent that those who are doing well wish for a change as much as those who are doing badly. Just because they crave novelty.
Wow.
And they want something like, and that's so true, right?
Yeah.
Like, cause we crave newness. We crave something that's, you know, that we haven't seen before. Something like Machiavelli says that is a novelty, but, you know, people hurt people, like you said.
And in that case, sometimes there's self-sabotage. I'm doing so well, I'd rather see what it's like not to do well. And this is a problem. And I do think that is what leads to a lot of breakup of relationships, good friendships, romantic relationships, whatever it might be. It's that duplicity. I have a better opportunity, and that opportunity is more valuable than you are.
Mm-hmm.
man, be careful. Now, look, sometimes, well, I'll say this at the end, but sometimes that'll keep us from having actual good friendships, and that should not be the case. Some people close themselves off.
The last point before we move on from this duplicity is how to avoid this and how to evade this pit. And you make a very bold statement of just avoid selfish people.
Yeah.
And how can that help avoid this duplicitous relationship?
Get to know them. I mean, as you're getting to know this individual, you really have to see egotism.
Yeah.
You have to see narcissism and you have to see selfishness.
Sure.
And as it continues to reveal itself, look, just start walking away.
Yeah.
If you're going to walk into a Wendy's and you're ready for a hot and juicy hamburger, right? And you walk inside and you see roaches and you see it's filthy, just walk out.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're cleaning the back. No, they're not cleaning the back. They're not cleaning the front. Like, it's nasty. Leave. When you begin to see this, walk away. Now, I'm not talking about ministry. Some of you are like, well, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Okay, he was ministering to sinners. You should minister to every single person. Hmm. And one of the key aspects we talk about in the book is understanding the distinction between those people you're ministering, solely ministering to.
Yeah.
And people that you've ministered to that eventually become your friends. This I brought out in the first sermon in my sermon series about friendship, and that is this. Jesus himself ministered to the disciples, then he ministered with the disciples, and one of the final things he said to the disciples was, you are no longer my servants, you are now my friends. Because what kind of servant knows what his master is doing? I've told you everything that I'm doing. I want you to call me your friend. And then he takes them into the garden and says, pray with me.
Yeah.
So those friendships can come out of ministry, but when it comes to your friendships, avoid selfish people. Minister to selfish people all day long. But then when you go home and relax and have some Chipotle and talk and
your watch, own personal relationships,
you enjoy non-selfish people. Avoid them.
Further on in this chapter, the last kind of section that you point out here is what could potentially lead as a result of broken trust over the years, duplicitous relationships. And that's just simply an attitude of cynicism, which it can be potentially one of the most dangerous of all. And that you just make a choice at the end of the day, I'm not going to let anybody in. I'm done. I'm completely closing my heart and my mind off to those that might want in because they're going to use me, they're going to abuse me, they're going to spit me out like so many have other done before. And that's a really sad point to be in.
Now, this is, I give the illustration of Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games. Look, here's somebody who's already experienced the end of the world, literally the end of the world.
Yeah.
Starvation, everything. So when she goes into the games, she can't trust anybody. She doesn't want to trust anybody. You get to a place where if you trust no one, you will have no one. And I make this point. My dear friend, listen, reader, the goal of life is not to avoid pain. The goal of life is to live. And there are individuals who have closed themselves off. There are some pastors that say, I'm independent. I'm super independent. In fact, I don't talk to anybody. Well, look, that's unhealthy. Yeah. That's unhealthy. And the reason is because they've experienced enough pain, enough difficulty that they've become genuinely cynical when it comes, everybody is this way. Everybody wants to take advantage of me. Everybody wants to sell me something. Every group of people is, stop with the cynicism. Get to a place where you're a little bit vulnerable and maybe you'll get hurt, but also maybe you'll experience one of the greatest gifts God has for man, and that is friendship.
One of the lines from the book that I love a lot that honestly reminded me a lot of Man in the Arena was, a living has its joys and sorrows, its pain and pleasures. Life is filled with loyal people who occasionally betray and disloyal people who sometimes never remain true. No matter how cynical you allow yourself to become, you'll never be able to experience a life devoid of pain, sorrow, and betrayal. And I love, you know, as I'm reading that, I'm thinking of the line from A Man in the Arena. It says, if you're going to err while daring greatly.
Yeah.
And I think about that's so true because it's better to live a life where you potentially might get hurt occasionally, then shut yourself off from everybody and never be blessed from other people.
I tell our pastoral team all the time, I'd much rather make the wrong decision than no decision at all. I'd much rather try and fail than never try. And I'd much rather put myself out there. Put yourself out there and be somebody's friend and then experience pain and then be like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But you know what? This is pain. I'm feeling something.
Sure.
I'm alive at least. And so this pit, what is this trap of betrayal? One of the traps is just cynicism. I can't let people in.
Yeah. Now I got to admit, I've heard you tell a story before, but the end of the chapter is the best, where you recall a story from a real life example with your father-in-law. And I love, you know, the observation that you make here and how your kind of attitude coming into the situation was one thing. And in one sentence, age and wisdom spoke into your life and potentially changed your perspective for the rest of your life on what it was potentially like. You want to kind of give cliff notes of what happened there?
Yeah. In this last part of the chapter, I specifically talk about the trap of control. My friends must always agree with me. This you don't have friends at this point. You have minions.
Minions, yeah, it's a good word for it.
So here you've got Gru, and even the minions with Gru,
we're a little rebellious.
They're a little rebellious. Yeah. Like if you've got nobody in your life that can straight up call you on your stuff, you don't have friends. Right. You have employees. You've got people that are afraid of you. And my biggest concern, this is what happens when certain people rise to a certain level, like Ravi Zacharias. Mm. This is my concern with a guy like Ravi. You get to a place where you surround yourself with only yes men, only people who will tell you exactly what you want to hear. And nobody's going to say, hey, I have a question. Why do you go to a masseuse every week?
Sure.
Like what's that about? How dare you? I'm Ravi Zacharias. Okay, I'm not trying to make light. I'm serious about this. Maybe you're listening to this, and that's the place you've put yourself. You've isolated yourself and insulated yourself from all true friends because nobody can confront you face to face. My friends must always agree with me on every level.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about having nobody that you can really speak in. And there should be a certain level of vulnerability and transparency, especially if you're at that level of ministry, that nobody is unable to access. Your wife, your close friend, your executive, like whoever it is for you, it has to be somebody. And, you know, we have to avoid that trap of cynicism, but at the same time, there has to be a level of transparency. But
And a level of trust. And that's what leads into the story you were setting up. And that is, it's better to live a life where you trust people and they set and they let you down than to live the life of a cynic and trying to control everybody. I'm so afraid of being betrayed. Come on. I remember I was in Savannah, Georgia with my wife. We'd only been married probably a year and a half, 2 years or so. And we're walking down the Riverwalk. We're with her parents. And I'm coming out of the Rocky Chocolate Factory. What is that?
Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory.
You know what I'm talking about? Yep. They're in every vacation destination.
Sure.
And I'm walking
out. Not just the Rocky Mountain. It's weird.
I'm walking out with my bag of, you know, sugar pecans or whatever it might be. My wife and her mother are several stores down burning up Melvin's credit card. And I'm like, okay, what are we going to do here? And I start walking over. I'm like, well, where's Melvin, my father-in-law? And there he is. Sun is setting low. Mm. The beauty of Savannah is coming alive. It's a gorgeous place, especially at dusk. And I see him sitting out by the water on a little bench. And I start walking toward him. He's probably a couple hundred yards out. And I notice a homeless man starting to walk up toward him. And I thought, oh, no, homeless man's going to try to take advantage of my father-in-law. My father-in-law stood up and started talking to him. And I thought, oh, man, I better get there quick. I mean, this poor farmer from Alabama is about to get taken advantage of in the big city.
Sure.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He needs his son-in-law to come into the rescue. And I wanted to get there before he took his money out and gave it to the man, but I was too late. By the time I had arrived, the man was already giving him a $20 bill and patting him on the shoulder. God bless you, son. And he started to walk away. And I thought to myself, well, this is a mess. You know, what a mess. And I looked over to Melvin. We both sat down and looked out on the river. And I said to him, I said, don't you think he's just going to blow that on alcohol and drugs? Hmm. And I'll never forget, Melvin was not a man of many words. He looked over at me, put his arm, hand on my shoulder, and he said, son, I decided a long time ago I'd much rather be taken advantage of occasionally than live the life of a cynical man.
Wow.
Man, what a great statement. Yeah. I'd much rather be taken advantage of occasionally. And when it comes to friendships, this is one thing that I've noticed men do. Mm. They've decided to close themselves off because they got taken advantage of instead of opening their heart to friendships. Yes, betrayals are going to happen. But the biggest trap, well, it's closing yourself off to friendship.
Well, I've loved this discussion, and I've loved so far everything I've read in your book. So tell our audience where they can find it potentially and read more about it.
Yeah, it just started launching a week ago on Tuesday. So you can get it. All you have to do is go to ideanetwork.church and order that, and we'd love to get it out to you. Several have asked, is it going to be available on Amazon? It won't be available on Amazon for months. It's really a process getting it on Amazon, not only the way it normally is, but especially now with Christian content. I don't know if you've been watching the news and what's going on with this in the Christian publishing world. It's Amazon is highly aware of all of its content being sold, and if it's coming from a Christian perspective, they're going through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that there's nothing that would be offensive from their worldview's perspective. So support the book by reaching out to ideanetwork.church and picking up a copy. You can contact us at ideanetwork.church. Go under the shop tab, and under the shop tab, you'll be able to find it, The Quest for Friendship.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.